just call on me, brother. When you need a hand, we all need somebody to lean on.
Good evening, Bahamas. Good evening, Bahamas. This is another Wet Tuesday. And welcome to another edition of Kenny's Corner, right here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk all day. I'm your host, Mrs. Kendanik Delavoe. And tonight, we are having the conversation that a lot of people need, but don't know where to start. We're talking about back to school. There's been so much in the newspapers, in the dailies, in social media today. It's almost as if I'm clairvoyant and I saw that this was going to happen today. And so my topic has been back to school. I posted it last week. I had so many questions, but it's not the typical back to school conversation. We talk about the children. We talk about uniforms, books, school fees, lunches, transportation, new schools, new teachers, new environments. But tonight, I want to talk about you. Because while everybody's asking, are the children ready for school? There is an adult somewhere saying quietly, I don't know if I'm ready. The pressure to provide, the pressure to make sure things are paid, the pressure to keep everybody emotionally together when you yourself are handling everything under the sun, but you can't fall apart. The pressure of balancing parenting, relationships, career, sex, finance, life, grief, everything. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're so busy making sure everybody else is okay that we never stop to ask ourselves, who's checking on me? Some of us are exhausted before the first bell even rings. The exhaustion doesn't always look like falling apart. Sometimes it looks like showing up every day with a smile while you're mentally drowning. Sometimes it looks like saying, I'm good, because you don't have any energy to explain that you're absolutely not good. So tonight we're talking and we're taking the conversation deeper because real conversation creates real impact. And tonight we're talking about the mental pressures that adults carry when children go back to school. We're talking about stress, expectations, parenting pressure, burnout boundaries, and how we take care of people taking care of everybody else. So tonight on Kenny's Corner, we're just not asking, are the kids ready? Because in some instances, it's like the hell with these kids. But nobody wants to say that because everybody wants to paint the picture that their kids are perfect and they are lily white and the snow is beautiful and everything is great. But the kids, some of the kids are interesting at best. But no one's asking, are you okay? So tonight, we're going to have that conversation. Good evening.
Good evening.
It's a pleasure to finally have you back in studio.
So good to be here.
Put your mic up just a little.
Is that better?
That is so much better.
Oh, yeah, that is better.
Introduce yourself. Let the people know that you're back and who you are in studio with us today.
Hello, folks. So I'm Raquel Curry. I've been on this show a few times.
Yes.
I am a professional therapist here in the Capitol. Mm-hmm. I own the company Beyond Our Health, which brings mental and body wellness to the public. And also, I'm the one that was responsible for free therapy. So just really trying to help bring access and resources to people like our topic tonight, if I'm being honest.
I don't know where to start. So I think in some instances, probably my show may be more therapy than it is anything else.
I think so sometimes too.
Yeah. And so my daughter went from grade 6 into grade 7. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to transition. I thought that when I dropped her to school on Tuesday, it would be photos and mommy's coming out of the car and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And she politely said to me, you are not coming out of the car. You can take a photo here or you can take a photo over there. And there's none of the crazy stuff and the antics. And she put on her lip gloss and she let me take one photo with her. I did a little video in the vehicle, and then she came out, and then I wanted to help her take her bag. I said, but I can help you take your bag. I don't need you to help me take my bag. But did I create, or am I creating an independent individual? Was she being brassy, or was she saying, mommy, I got it?
Definitely, mommy, I got it, right? You see this transition from primary school to high school.
I didn't know that it would be that way. I I didn't anticipate her saying to me, no.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be photos and smile like this. And it was not. It was none of that. Mm-hmm. But nobody asked the parents, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. Nobody asked the parents, how do you transition in your mind? And I wonder when my parents dropped me to school, how they managed, or was it just them trying to make sure that they were able to provide for us, that they simply said, hey, I send you to school, mm-hmm. get your education, and get out of this car.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about the mental anguish of transitioning from elementary to high school, do you think that parents think about what they go through?
I definitely think it's less of a thought and more of a feeling.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
I'm not like you just explained it, right? I wasn't thinking that it would be this, but I felt this way when I saw my daughter say no, right? Because you're not thinking that it's going to be what it is. And I think for a lot of parents, it's less about, you know, sometimes you could have an even split where there are parents who are saying, yes, you know, I know my child is going into high school. I'm fully prepared for this. My baby's growing up. And then there's parents who just like, my baby's growing up, right? Same idea and concept, but it's different because it feels different. I feel like I'm losing time. I feel like it's going too fast. And before I blink, you out of the house or you off to college, which is a whole nother transition when it comes to school.
Well, I go in. School. I go in. When she come talking, but she go in. Yeah. I go in with her. Yeah. I won't go.
Yeah, my parents went with me for both undergrad and grad school. There's
no, I mean,
wrong
not
with
just,
that.
I don't mean drop, oh, take. I mean, I go, when she move, I move too. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Not at all.
I just was thinking, she ain't going to say, come on. You'd be like, you got, please go back home. I'm hugging you. Leave.
Go. Listen, I could take you to the airport. Mm-hmm. And mommy, like, you have to go back to Nassau now.
Mm-hmm.
I pray God spares my life for me to see that. I that is my humble prayer. These are some questions that were sent to me.
Sure.
Right? So one question was, how can financial pressure during back to school affect a person's mental and emotional well-being?
I think when you think about financial pressure just in general, right, back to school is just an added element of the many faucets of financial pressure. So financial pressure equals anxiety. It equals stress. And this is not in every case. But when you find that people are looking at counting how much money I have to spend, you know, I get paid once a month. How do I now ration this back in budget cuts? Hour cuts, because some people work hourly,
right.
That creates a lot of stress. And so the mental health is affected because now I have to think about the who, what, when, where, and why, and right. Make sure that we eat, we're still good, I can still afford uniform. And so it creates a lot of anxiety about where the next dollar is coming from sometimes. It creates a lot of anxiety around, am I making sense? Is this the right move? Especially if we're talking about single parents, which is a little bit harder, right? At least within a two-parent household, I have a shared finances sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that takes a little bit of the stress off. But it's like with anything, right? Buying a house, having a kid, right? Everything that creates a new addition to how we spend the money that we have, there's going to be some stress with that. There's definitely going to be some anxiety with that.
So I want to find out if you also think the pressure that parents have to, there's this bag that everybody asks for school, apparently, that everybody's
spray
giving.
Spray ground.
Who?
Spray ground.
Spray ground.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know it was spray ground. I thought it was spray gram, like the gram. I thought it was spray gram.
Spray
okay.
Ground.
So let me ask you. You can only afford JanSport, or you can only afford a Kipling, but the child wants this. Is the pressure to provide it because of the child, or is the pressure to provide it because all of the other parents are probably in the schoolyard and they're going to talk about you, so you have to have this thing for the child? Because when we went to school, it was you had your Tupperware, you had your, I think we may have had JanSport, or we would have had, I don't even remember what kind of school bag we had.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But that is what you had. Whatever your parents brought home,
mm-hmm.
that's what you carry into school.
Sure.
But now it's, I want this, I want that. The national average is still F minus, but you want all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Are the pressures on us because of what other parents are doing, or is it because we want to please the children that are not pleasing us?
Well, I think that some of the pressure can come from me just wanting my child to be happy, be comfortable, not be bullied, right? There's, we, the pressure could be coming from the child, but not our child, but realizing that children are really mean sometimes.
As are adults.
And so if I don't have the name brand, does that make me a target for bullying? Does that make me a target for teasing? And so sometimes parents can hear about it, see it, and they want to provide so that their children don't become a target. That's one reason. That's not the end all be all. One reason. Another reason is, yes, I want to appear like I am appearances, right? We are a people of, I want to keep up a facade that I'm doing really well and that I'm providing for my child, and I'm not a, for lack of better word, choice deadbeat or someone that is neglecting my child's needs. And so you have parents who do perform for the appeasement and please of the society to appear as if I have it all together. So that's two. And then three, the child is begging, right? I mean, I want these daughters. Particularly this Christmas, I want this and only this. I want these daughters. I want this bag. And it's just like, no.
No.
I had, our choices was like, I always had like a Nautica bag or a Nike bag. But again, it wasn't like $200.
No.
So I definitely was in my means. And my shoes come from Payless. And who cares, right?
But right, just, because Payless was the thing back
it
then.
It really was. I just finished talking to my brother about this. I was like, do you remember us walking up and down Payless aisles because we had to try our shoes on?
And then, and or it was Jonas George? G.R. Sweeting. And then you got your clocks. But the clocks then were like the real clocks, not these clocks that they have now. Because the water coming wet you, the clocks burst.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
So
the material is deteriorating.
It surely is, as is our social and our moral fiber. But I want to find out as well, how important is it for parents to set boundaries with children, with family members, and even themselves during this very stressful season? Because you see on Facebook, oh, little Johnny has gone off to school. This one went to this school. This one went to the next school. How important is it for parents to set boundaries?
When you say boundaries, and you said with family and other students, are you talking, I mean, and their children, are we talking about them learning how to stay within what feels comfortable for them, or them not allowing people to keep constantly needing them?
A bit of both, but more so to stay within their boundaries so that they're not subjugated to peer pressure.
I mean, I think a lot of times people think that self-care is about putting things on your plate, but it's also about taking things off. Right. So it's boundaries is my big B word. Every time I do a talk, every time I do a session, I'm like, how are you making sure that you have boundaries?
Right.
Because a lot of times we focus on what we can't control and we need to focus on what we can. And what we can is my boundaries, my thoughts and actions, how I think about myself, the energy, the things I give my energy to, how I challenge myself, the goals I set. These are the six criteria by which I tell people this is how you contain psychological distress. This is how you maintain it as well, by setting boundaries that help you understand I can't be all to everyone.
Right.
And even with myself, even though I'm going to try, because I've heard parents say, you know, I go above and beyond. We're not talking about that. We're talking about when you've crossed a threshold and it's now you're spending money that you don't have, or you're putting yourself in debt, or you're crossing your child's boundary and calling them every day. Like, let them breathe for a little bit. Let them acclimate so they don't become dependent and they start to miss home, and then they end up having, you have a lot of students who are off who get homesick very easily, right? And that immediately makes parents want to be like, oh no, like, let me come visit, like, let me come be up under you. And it's like, no, let them acclimate. Unless, of course, you're realizing that it's causing psychological distress. So there's always a threshold that has to be climbed within the boundary. Think of it like I'm setting a fence around, and anything that goes outside of this fence, I now need to be conscious of. So I can check on my child, but am I checking on them several times a day? I can send money to my child, because I did love when my parents were paying for everything. I'll tell you that, right? Dorm food, entertainment, fantastic. But parents have to set boundaries, because they can't be everything to everyone all the time. It just takes away from their ability and their capacity to be able to perform like well-intentioned and well-meaning in their services in their day-to-day.
Do you think that as parents, we just want our kids to be so happy that we go over and above and beyond, like you mentioned, and we put ourselves in financial strains?
I think a lot of times, especially in this society, parents want children to have the childhood they didn't have.
Jesus.
And so then that pushes them to provide and show up and overextend and ensure. And I'm not saying, for my listeners, I'm not saying that you getting the spray ground bag is a bad thing. I'm saying, but did it take you out of your means? Did it mean then that you had to, you know, give up something that you know you needed for yourself so that this child can get the thing? I'm not saying that sacrifices are a bad thing either. I'm just saying sometimes you have to be able to know when to reel it in, because we live vicariously through our children sometimes, and their upbringing. We feel like we're solely responsible for everything that happens. So we try to control every single narrative so that they grow up to be something different than what we are.
Okay. we have another question. I want to get to this before we go to a quick break, right? Now, I don't know how to ask this question because this is worded very different. Mm-hmm. I may have to come back to that question. Let me see if I can deal with this one. So this texter says here, how should a parent respond if their child actually comes to them and says, "Mommy, Daddy, I think that I'm gay"?
Oof. That's a really hard question, because I think that there is no one size fits all for how you respond to that question. I think that it really depends on, you know, where you're at. The first line of defense in my brain is, don't be defensive. Don't take it personal. Don't ostracize the child. Don't make the child feel less than small. If a child feels comfortable enough to even come and say that to me, then I know that I've created some level of safety for them to feel comfortable enough to say it. So that's, we're already in a good place, because a lot of times they don't. And so as a parent.
But as a parent, don't you know?
Not all the time. I don't know. I mean, I think there's sometimes parents do know. And then there's sometimes when parents are in denial.
The river.
Right. And then there's sometimes when, you know, it you can see by who their friends are, like what they're into. But it still doesn't take them away.
Just be a phase, like, you know, they wear the dunks and the big shirts and the baggy jeans and or they wear the tight clothes. Could it just not be a phase and they're trying to find themselves?
I think identity does work in a way where you are trying to find yourself, but I try to move away from the language of phase, because if it's something that feels right for me, then, I mean, who are we to say
that it's a phase?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the phase might last forever, you know? Is it still a phase?
Okay. This question here. I can't ask that question. As a parent, I've discovered that my child is sexually active. What should my first conversation have looked like?
Oof. I found out that my child is sexually active. The first conversation you should have is with yourself.
As a parent.
Mm-hmm. Because you have to ask yourself, how do I want to approach this? How do I want to navigate this? Am I frustrated? What do I even feel? Right? Because we jump the gun and go straight into it, not even understanding what we feel first. Because we just want to fix and solve and address. But a part of being able to fix and solve and address is to be able to even understand what you're feeling first. So I think the first conversation in this type of such a heavy topic, especially depending on the age, the first conversation is with yourself. And if you have a partner, a spouse or something like that, with that person, like, how are we going to handle this? What are the rules that we want to make? And don't come out of frustration, because if you're frustrated as a therapist, my question is always going to be like, what makes you angry about that? That your child is exploring their like sexual aspects at an early age. Why are you mad about that? What is painting for you that is something that makes you immediately frustrated that you want to beat and or you know, put them in a corner or punish them? The first conversation you need to have is with yourself.
I think for me, as a parent of a girl, mm-hmm. I think my very first thing would be, when you think about being sexually active as a young girl,
mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, you don't necessarily know what it is that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get misinformation because you get it from your little ratty friends.
Mm-hmm.
And all of y'all sitting together and you come up with these grandiose ideas of what you think sex is.
Mm-hmm.
Or you think that this boy or this girl likes you because there's no judgment here, right? And you don't really know what it is that you're getting yourself into.
Sure.
It's not just being pregnant, you know. It's not just the act of sex within of itself, because how are you performing this sex? What are you doing? How are you forming this? But it is the STDs that are out there. It is whether or not you are allowing this boy or this girl to subjugate you, if that be a word,
sure,
or if that be a thing.
Sure.
But how do you have the conversation as a parent? Because we have to now deal with this, because you are not fully equipped to deal with what comes with sex.
It's so interesting because as you speak, I think about school. A lot of my thoughts around sexual activity came from
school
and teaching us about STDs. We had a assembly every year where they would separate the girls and the boys and show us the photos. And it was like, don't do this, don't do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that may not work, what we're also not teaching is consent. Is it okay to, if I start with a yes and change to no, is it okay to still go? If I start with a no and change to yes, is it okay to say no? You will be surprised the amount of people that get confused by the answers of those questions. So that's why I said, have the conversation with yourself first. Did you teach them about consent? Did you teach them about, if you love me, are they now looking for love in desperation because you're not meeting their emotional needs? Even if you're a parent that's doing all of the things right, what created that boundary cross?
But the thing about it is, you just mentioned we can be doing everything right for these children, and they themselves, they don't even know, because they have so many hormones and so many things going on, and they're so digital and they're so social
access.
Media driven.
Yeah,
maybe the access needs to be cut off. But then again, we live in such a tech world.
Sure.
Right. So, what do we do? And my thing is, once upon a time, we used to be so afraid for the girls, but we now need to be also equally as afraid for the boys.
Mm-hmm.
But as a mother of a girl, I feel a particular way. If I had a boy, maybe I'd feel a different way, but I find that mothers coddle their sons.
Mm-hmm.
And so they treat them a different way, where they raise the girls as men and they raise the boys as butterflies.
Interesting concept, because I would have to agree, because I've... Just in terms of societal norms, you do see that there is a discourse between mothers and daughters, where mothers are raising their daughters a little bit more tougher, or they're harder, or they're the ones that have to take care of everybody. Meanwhile, the oldest boy out there frolicking, right? And it's something to be said about the dynamic. And if you're saying, okay, well, how do we change this? It has to be a whole system shift, right? How are we making sure what they see says, okay, these bad things, but also, are you watching the good things? The good things that say wait, the good things that say abstinence, the good things that say consent, and all of these beautiful things. You can't just consume someone's brain with this particular type of media and think that they're going to be so independent they do the opposite. That's not how that works. What am I flooding my brain with? What type of books am I reading? What type of comics am I reading? How am I consuming my content to make it seem like this is actually something okay? My mommy just outdated and don't know what she's talking about, right? How is the literature? How is the TV shows? Also, everything is so hypersexualized right now.
Yes.
So again, it's about that education. What am I flooding my brain with?
This is another text, and this is another text.
Sure.
This question reads, how do you know when your child is sexually active from a therapist's perspective?
I mean,
I guess, are there signs of things that you should look for?
That's a really good question. I've never even heard that question before from a therapist's perspective. I would have to say I'm not sure, because sometimes children hide and they hide very well. And sometimes it isn't an extreme behavior shift. There is no one size fits all for what to look out for. I mean, as a mom, what would you look for to say my child is sexually active?
Well, I think for a mom, and because I knew when I was sexually active, I knew how old I was, right?
Sure.
And I knew how my mannerisms and my body changed. And I think that I would look for those types of things. But nowadays, like some of these children that I saw taking these photos, these children look like they have mortgages and they should be out working, but they're in uniform. So you, the body part of it, the mental part of it, you just do not know.
Correct.
But as a woman, you could identify with some things from a young girl.
Mm.
In my mind, you can identify.
I think, I mean, you know, again, if you are worried about it or you feel like this is something that you feel pressure about, how do I have this conversation? It's really about the dynamic that you have with your child. Do you feel comfortable just having the conversation? Don't outrightly be like, hey, you have not that. But like, hey, like, how's things going? If you know that they're in a relationship, if they're hiding their relationship from you, they're probably going to hide the fact that they're sexually active from you.
Oh, God.
If they're open about their relationship and they have questions, how do you as a parent not, and I want to say this for all the people that are listening, not be afraid of the conversation because you're worried about what they might say. You're worried about what type of child you have. A lot of people are literally afraid to have the conversation because they don't know what they might hear. They might be unprepared. Those feelings come in again. So even from the question of asking, like, how do you know? There is no way to know. But do you create a safe enough environment for me to be able to tell you?
I have a girlfriend. We had a conversation this morning before the show, right? Well, it was a group of us. We had this conversation. And I said to her, we were having a conversation about something else. And we just got onto the show topic. And she said, well, I have these conversations with my daughter all the time. Mm-hmm. But I said, I would be amazed that you had these conversations with your daughter because you paint the picture that she's absolutely perfect. Like she, you know, she's just perfect. You would never think that you'd have any challenges with this child.
Really?
But she said, no, that's not really true. I've had them. Mm-hmm. She didn't go into any detail about what challenges she's had with her daughter, but she simply said, that's not true. And maybe because I'm so open, I'm expecting more. I'm expecting, well, I had a problem with her doing this, so I had a problem with her doing that. But I think that for all intents and purposes, parents or people in your circle group, you don't want to say, I've had a problem with my child. You don't want anyone to know, I have had a problem with this child. Mm-hmm. I had a problem with this boy. Mm-hmm. Or this boy did this, or this boy stole, and so I had to go to the people and pay the people the money.
Mm-hmm.
Or this boy got this girl pregnant, and we had to take her to have the situation eradicated. Nobody wants to say, listen, my child is not...
My child is problematic.
Nobody wants to say it.
Sure.
How do we get to the point where we have the conversation to say, hey, my child this, and this is how I feel about it. How do we have the conversation to change our mind capacity to say, I want to have the conversation with somebody so that I can get some help for me?
My question becomes, everybody needs community. Right. My question becomes, who in your community is safe for you to be the collapse, not be the perfect? And if you don't have that in your community, let's start there. Right? Who are the people that you can talk to? Who are the people you can trust? Because there are some people who, you know, you bounce ideas. This is why we have mommy groups,
yes,
right? And parent groups, right?
Yes.
It's like, hey, and even if you don't want to be in Bahamas, I'm pretty sure you can find one that's international and they just throw some concepts in a Facebook group and you kind of learn from that. But you can find your tribe because you can't have all the answers. You cannot and you don't. And so sometimes you do need to be a little humble and talk to people. And I'm not talking about your pastor.
No.
Because sometimes the dynamic just doesn't work well in that way. But who are the people that you lean on that you trust? Who are parents as well? You know, or a therapist, right? I'm a child and adolescent psychologist. And so who are the people that you go to talk to about what you're seeing and what you can do to make sure that your child is okay?
Well, we have to figure this out because we go through a lot of emotional and mental and physical.
It ain't easy.
Man, listen.
It's not easy.
The road raggy. And then I don't think we learned anything in COVID, right? Because school is open. Why aren't we doing hybrid learning in some instances?
Mm.
Why is there so much traffic? Why can't you say it's five of us that live in one neighborhood? You do drop off this week, I do pick up. Why can't we work together?
For that exact same reason you were saying earlier, right? I want nobody to see my child, don't have, or this, that, or the third, or, you know, they, with what COVID did teach us is the amount of sexual predators there
COVID teaches that.
You know, a lot of people are just trying to protect their kids, right? Yeah. But the community, the collectivistic mentality, which is community, is not as apparent here anymore. And it's very individualistic in nature. And so it's like, I got my child. You ain't got to worry about it. You ain't going to ever be the one to say you what to do for
my child.
You don't
have to say I do this. And mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's mm-hmm. how we get. Mm-hmm. That's how we get. Okay, we're going to take a very quick break, and then we're going to be back. This is Kenny's Corner. We're having the back-to-school conversation. Everybody wonders, you know, about the kids, but what about the parents? Who's looking after us? What about our mental and our emotional? This is Kenny's Corner, Guardian Radio 96.9, Fresh News, Smart Talk, all day.
Time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there.
Be ready with Duracell. Be ready when the power goes out this hurricane season with Duracell, the battery that lasts up to 10 times longer. Purchase your Duracell batteries at your local neighborhood stores, service stations, and all major retailers. Duracell, distributed by ACH Pritchard Limited. So, be ready with Duracell.
Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
There's a new Duracell battery with a great new look, and now formulated to last even longer. So now you can think even less about batteries, and so can Duracell Bunny. Duracell, lasts longer, much longer. Duracell distributed by Ace Age Pritchard Limited. Duracell wants to assure the Bahamas that we are here with you during these challenging times, and you can trust us with all your household and portable power needs.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting in the evening car, watching the ships roll in, then I watch them roll away again. Yeah. Sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide.
Think about Chris. Chris can play this music. I have the world's greatest engineer. When I tell you Chris is fantastic, Chris, whoever this young girl is that you date, and I need to see her. I need you to bring her to me, Chris, so we can vet this young lady. I can't let, you know, I got to make sure you are right. Ladies and gents, the Guardian Media Group, September Bill Buster promotion, Guardian Radio 96.9. Give your pocket a break. We will help you pay the big four in our September Bill Buster promotion. We're giving away gift vouchers every week. Vouchers from BPL. We need that. water and sewage, Super Value Food Stores, and Shell. Win gifts, vouchers every Friday in September. Follow the entry form in today's Nassau Guardian. Listen to The Guardian Radio 96.9 and follow us across all social media platforms. Give your pocket a break with our September Bill Buster. Win gift vouchers every single Friday. Now that's BPL. That's water and sewage. That is Super Value Food Store and that Shell. Nothing like going to the gas station. These gas station attendants make you feel good. I was having a bad day last week. This was after my child already told me, like, I don't want you to take no extra picture. My husband had already put gas in my tank, but I just went to the gas station. I said, hi, I just need you to clean my window. He comes and says, hey, beautiful empress, you brown hair, this, and I mean, he made me feel like $1,000.
No problem, boss lady.
You empress, you understand me? So again, of course, this is the Guardian September Bill Busters. Give your pocket a break. We're going to pay your bill. We're going to give you the gift vouchers from BPL, Water and Sewage, Super Value Food Store, and Shell. Give your pocket a break with our September Bill Buster. Win gift vouchers every Friday. That's every Friday in September. Now, let's get back to these questions because we're almost out of time as usual.
As usual.
As per usual. All right. So how can me as a parent protect my child while giving them enough trust and, oh Lord, what does this say? How can me as a parent protect my children while still giving them enough trust and space to develop into responsible adults?
I think even asking that question shows good faith.
Okay.
Because you want to be able to, so when you were talking earlier, one of my thoughts was you can't be the child. You can't do everything for the child. And so some of it is about, I did a talk recently on digital media and effects on mental health. And one of the things that someone had come to me.
With the University of the Bahamas. Yes. And it was riveting because I didn't realize that digital had such a play on our heads.
Yeah, very vast things that are considered digital media. And so as a parent, you have to do your best because it is give the education, put them in extracurricular activities, make sure they go outside, make sure that they're reading. Try to make a well-rounded child as much as possible, but don't force because then they'll end up running away. I mean, you know your child. There is no one size. I'm going to keep saying this, I feel, the whole hour. There is no one size fits all for every child.
We don't have it.
You know your child. You know that you're doing a really good job.
What if you don't know your child? What if you are so busy making a living that you don't know Johnny? You don't know Susie? Nobody's named the child Sheila. That Sheila's a heavy name to name a child in this millennium.
I know,
but
a couple of Sheilas.
Born in this year?
No.
Okay, because that's a heavy name. But what if you don't know your child?
It's time to get to know your child.
How? What if the child is too far gone?
That's an interesting question.
And as a parent or as a guardian, you just don't know that the child is too far gone. You catch it too late.
I don't think that they're too far gone is such an interesting concept because I think there is a point where you think it's okay, it's too late. They've done set in their ways. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that they still don't have those basic emotional needs. They still don't have those basic conversational needs. And you can try, but if you've been absent for so long, it's still up to the child to be able to let you in. Like, you can't beat your way into a child's life. You can't punish your way into a child's life. So that's a really good question because too far gone can be from 10, if I'm being honest.
So what about the 18-year-old girl with the murder charges this week?
Tell me a little bit about that.
Is she too far gone?
Tell me more about that. What happened? I don't watch the news. I'm sorry, guys.
Okay, so, and I only know a little bit of the story because I've been in my own space.
Sure.
So she's 18 years old. She knows about some murders that would have happened. She's being charged before the magistrate. She's a 18-year-old female.
Mm-hmm.
How did we lose this generation? Mm-hmm. What about the young boy that
sexually assaulted
the young girl in the vehicle while she was intoxicated?
Mm-hmm.
Are we losing a whole generation because we don't know our kids? Or are we losing a whole generation because we're trying so hard to make a living? Or we were children ourselves, kids having kids. Mm-hmm. Because I remember when I taught in the government system, right? So the mommy 50, the child 15, and the child 15 have a childhood too. Mm. So it's like
a perpetuation of the same behaviors.
It's a perpetuation, and nobody's able to break the cycle. Is it environmental? How do you mentally deal?
It's such an interesting thing that you asked this. I just finished teaching this in class.
Mad teachers.
So you have a few factors, right? It can be environmental. Am I growing up in an environment that forces me to think this way, act this way, feel a particular way? Is it genetics, right? Did I get this anxiety, depression, not knowing how to regulate my emotions from my own family members, which then forces me to desperately seek love, attention, affection? You talked about too far gone. What made me too far gone? I just finished telling my students, every person in this world is a blank slate. You start off as a blank slate. How you become is indicative of your environment, your cognition, how you think, how you feel, how you act, what you engage in, what you consume. Everybody is different. And because not everybody is the same, that shows you what makes Kenny different than Raquel. What makes Raquel different than Sheila?
I don't have hair. Raquel has hair. That makes a little bit of a difference.
Right. But also upbringing, right?
Yes.
Background. Also generational gaps. Other educational considerations, right? Because I think people don't take into account the individual. So when you have these generations of people who are perpetuating the same behavior, how are you stopping the we just talked about intergenerational trauma versus generational curse.
Yes.
Either way, how are you putting a stop to it? And if you're not putting a stop to it, then how can you get upset by the results that you're perpetuating?
But I ask this question. I have the grief of my mother, the grief of losing, sometimes you lose two parents all at one time,
mm-hmm.
Divorce, the child going to another school, a new marriage, a new home, getting the grass cut, finding work because you're an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
Going through perimenopause, going through menopause, getting fat, using Mounjaro, using Ozempic. You need a new car, you need a new bra, you need all of these things. You're going through your own thing.
Yep.
But you have to yet manage someone else and traffic in the morning and the evening. But you're supposed to be able to manage somebody else.
Yep.
How you, like, who is Superwoman in this situation?
Nobody's Superwoman.
Help me understand.
The thing is, yeah, the person that is going through all of that, you're still human. So you still need to do emotional regulation. You still need to do self-care. That doesn't make you exempt. And remember I said, self-care isn't always putting something on. It's also taking off. When I talked about digital media and I asked the crowd the question, how many hours do you spend?
I remember on digital media. I listened. You asked that question.
And then I asked, what is something you wish you could take back? And how many people said time?
Time.
Exactly. Because you're saying, we all have the same 24 hours.
We all
have the same 24 hours. What you do with your 24 hours is up to you. But we think because we're so overwhelmed and overstimulated with all those things that you just talked about, we don't have enough time. But how can I take something off my plate? How can I handle me first? If I hail, I cannot manage nobody else. But I decided to have a child. You don't have a choice at that point. You kind of have to regulate you. Give me a second. Regulate yourself to be able to do the homework. Regulate yourself to be able to say, hey, okay, tell me about your day. Because sometimes you had a boss that was just really stressful and you had to come home and you need a minute. Teach your child that it's okay to give mom a minute. And when you have your minute, because you deserve that minute. The minute don't need to be 16 hours. Take an hour of me time or 20 minutes. And it's like, and I can hear parents right now saying, but I don't even have an hour. And it's just like,
but what about the guilt? Now, I'm Catholic, right?
Mm-hmm. So am I.
So you know that there's a huge guilt factor, right? Because the Catholic Church will guilt you to hell, right? So you've already done all of this stuff. And then you have to find a way to also not feel guilty about taking you time because, oh my God, dare I take a bath without you coming to the door asking me 20,000 questions?
This is why we instill me time from young, because it's just like, oh, mom just needs a me time. That's fine. Why is that a problem? That's not a problem because you are a human being. We already live in a society.
I don't remember my parents having no me time.
That's the thing. I was just going to say, we already live in a society that teaches us that we're all robots. Just do. You should be able to withstand and withhold every single pressure. And as each generation goes to the next, people call it, this generation soft. And it's just like, no, they're taking back their time. They're setting their boundaries.
Your generation, y'all different because I've seen you guys in a workspace. So you have X, you have Lunchbox, you have Y, you have Z, you have all of these different generational conundrums that are in one in silo, right? Sure. And y'all will walk away from a job in a heartbeat.
More Gen Zs than millennials, but millennials are the beginning of boundary setting. What I will say is a lot of adults between 45 and up always think, don't let you be the oldest daughter. Don't let you be the oldest child in general. The thought process has always been, we don't have time for emotions. Do the work. And where do you think that comes from?
Mommy and daddy.
Who got it from?
Mommy, because daddy probably wasn't around.
Mm. So when you keep passing down this mentality that there is no room for you to have an emotional break. When, first of all, this was during the time when going to the movie theater was a dollar. So you could have a
time. Are you talking about the Shirley Street Theater or the Twin or whatever, where the Purity Bakery is? Yeah, okay.
Good.
Okay.
But listen to what you just said earlier. We are now in a massive technology era. My dollar movie theater mentality can't work here.
No.
There's more. There's the food is mad, and you don't see what happened with the food. They now recalling this, that, and third. The food is different. The environment is different. The air is different. Traffic is different. We're not doing the exact same thing. So how can I take my 1956 mentality
right
and apply it to 2026?
My perimenopause just kicked right in when you asked the question. I need to bring my fan. It just kicked right in. I don't know how to. Let me read this text. Good afternoon to you and your guest. I have a 13-year-old son. I need help as a single mom. I do the best I can. We go to church. I have him in extracurriculars, but that child is just angry. How can I get in contact with your guest, please? Thank you. Very nice. Take this number as well and then answer the question if you can.
Yes. I mean, I think that a lot of people need, listen, sometimes it anger isn't just, I'm just angry. Sometimes anger is, something happened, I don't want to talk about it, or I've had a lot of adults who in their teenage years had been bullied and they never spoke about it, or they've been sexually assaulted and never spoke about it. And I'm not saying that this is not your kid. I'm saying that something's making that child angry. You don't just wake up angry and be angry at the world forever. Something's making that child angry. And so when people, this is the threshold I was talking about. When you realize that your child has been depressed for 2 weeks, I hear you with pray about it. I hear you, my nation. I hear you. But there is a threshold. Ask that child. Because if you don't believe in therapy, what do you think is going to happen with that child? They're not going to, I need to go, I'm crazy, da, 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 da. And I'm like, what makes you think you're crazy?
Not only crazy people go to therapy.
And I keep trying to tell people that. I am not the, first of all, let's move the language. Because when I ask people, what is crazy? No one can answer me. And so it's, as a parent, your role and your responsibility. And it's just like, well, are you a parent? I don't need to be a parent. To understand that the role and responsibility is to do the best for yourself, but also do the best for your child. And if you can tell that your child needs therapy, and I applaud the amount of parents that have brought their children to me. I work a lot with teenagers. And I get to try to help them understand and make them comfortable to say, this is really just you talking to someone to help balance it out when your parents don't feel comfortable. And that's all that it is. Because why are you angry?
I don't think we have an answer for why are we angry. I think that there are so many societal and environmental things that make us angry. And like a mother, you're looking to the, like, this is your paper. You should be looking on your own paper, right? But you're looking to the left and to the right because Paula Child have on, what it is? Spray ground. I hope I'm saying this correct. The Paula Child is on spray ground and black and white dunks, but you need blue and white dunks, and then you need another red and white pair, and then you need another purple and white pair, and you have to try to keep up with them because you don't want them to say, well, my child doesn't have, or you go and you get the Nike socks, and oh, my child wants the Adidas socks. So all of these superficial things you're trying to keep up with.
Mm-hmm.
But are you in tune with you as a human being, as mm-hmm. yourself, because why watching what Paula doing? I don't know what Paula's situation is.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be on top with me, but everybody's wondering about the children. Mm-hmm. But what about me? I can't keep pouring from an empty cup
sure.
as a human being,
sure.
as a mother, as a father. And 90% of the households are single parent.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the back to school events. The women are on the line with children, and I mean mm-hmm. not one child, like five and six. I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
But and even with that, right? You talk about the psychological trauma. One child, I did love you. We was getting married. We was in love. Second child, for a different man. Well, it was, you know, he loved me, and we can work things out, and we just third man. I ain't doing this no more. But you still have a third child. And I'm just saying, I don't know how it happens, but something is happening perpetually. But you're looking for love. And because you're looking for love, you lay down with Tom, Dick, and Harry. You have these children, and then they leave. And so now the children become your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But did you have the emotional wherewithal to say, you know something? This ain't making no sense. And laying down with this man might not be love.
No, because I probably didn't get it, right? We, as creatures, we are social creatures. And so we often try to seek the love that we did not get or meet the need that we did not get. And it usually often pushes us into the arms of people that don't deserve us. And so we end up, of course, like I say all the time when I'm talking about intergenerational trauma, and of course that person had a child. And then they had a child, and the child doesn't learn emotional regulation. The child doesn't learn emotional intelligence. The child doesn't even learn emotional literacy. So how then... So physically I'm functioning, chronologically I'm growing, but psychologically and emotionally I am still a child.
Do you think that women that run households in some instances are functioning depressed?
Did you say some women or did you say women in general?
Some women.
Okay, because I was like, yes, there's definitely a population of women that are in this category.
But how do you identify that we are functioning but depressed?
Well, high-functioning depressive is actually a thing.
It is.
It is. And I think that a lot of Bahamians fall into this category. High-functioning in general is a thing. And so you're saying, how do you tell that I'm a high-functioning depressive? I would say, what are your thoughts? Are they inherently about... You know, when you're by yourself, what are you thinking? Are you always trying to think about the next move and the next move? Are you giving yourself time to think about how you actually feel? Are you sleeping properly? Listen to me. That same pressure that we're talking about that most parents feel, it forces a shift in their sleep patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sleeping? And I'm not talking about, yeah, well, I just get my 8 hours of sleep. Not that. Time is important, but is it fragmented? Are you having difficulties falling asleep or staying asleep? I can fall asleep because I'm tired. Yes, your body's exhausted, so you have no choice.
Right.
But then you get up 2 hours later. And then you get up and you do what? What did I talk about in digital media? I scroll my phone, right? And so I'm a high functioning. I don't think a lot of people realize how we naturally create the depression as well, because sleep deprivation can lead to depression. High levels of stress, which you're feeling because you have all of these pressures, will naturally lead to sleep deprivation, which will naturally lead to depression. So, like, there's parts of us that ignore the depressive attitudes because we're not realizing what can lead to that. And so, yes, we're not sleeping in our bed all day and don't shower for weeks. It doesn't have to look like that. And I think this is what we're teaching kids as well, because when I talk to my teenagers, I'm like, what do you think depression is? And it's, oh, well, you know, people don't want to do anything. They're sad all the time. It's like, that's not it, right? I could still go to work. I could still talk to Susan and Sheila and Johnson. And I could still function, because what I did is I suppressed.
Mm.
And I kept suppressing.
Mm.
And so what happens is now I'm eating once a day or barely at all. Energy is not created or destroyed. It's passed from one thing to the next. So if you don't sit and determine what is creating this overwhelming sadness, then it's going to go somewhere else. It has to go somewhere else, because our brain is like, well, you're still feeling it. So, I mean, deal with it. So what you want me to do with this energy?
Mm-hmm.
And so you see people start to, well, I ain't going to get on exercising because I don't understand why people don't exercise. But exercise, and I'm not going to go to the gym, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking get up in the morning and stretch.
Walk.
Do some stretching. Do some walking. Get your body limber. Open up those hips. We store a lot of stress. Women, hear me. We store a lot. We store a lot of our stress in our hips. Right, our lower backs, our necks, our shoulders, men as well, right? So just stretch it out, do a little, you know, in the morning to kind of get that body fluid. But we're talking about depression. So without the exercise, our body doesn't get any type of
endorphins.
Yeah, fluidity, right? So we're stressed out. We have to have all this pressure. We don't have the answers because ain't nobody teach us, even though we have all of this access. But am I eating one meal a day? Am I eating? And when the one meal, is it something that helps my body? Does it nourish my body? Mm. Am I drinking adequate water? And when I say adequate water, I mean too much of a good thing is a bad thing. But like enough water to replenish. Because again, those muscles, they atrophy. They get tight when we're stressed. So water helps just kind of loosen that up, right? Hear me. Because even in my therapy session, I ask people, when was the last time you did something for yourself?
When was the last time?
If you're dealing with a lot of loss, you probably have high functioning depression. If you're dealing with a lot of difficulties trusting your friends, your neighbors, even your partner, because there's a lot of relationships where people don't trust their partners either, right? You're probably experiencing some level of depression. Are you depressed, major depressive disorder? No, it doesn't have to be that. But are you sleeping properly? Are you eating more than once a day? Are you taking your vitamins? At what age? I feel like there's a gap between when your parents stop telling you get the Flintstone gummies mm-hmm. and maybe 45, when we actually have to start caring, so we think.
Yes.
We do not take any vitamins and supplements to help the deficiencies. You at work all day. You have 2-3 jobs. You inside all day. No sun. The sun only happens when you drive into the next. And in that, stress is the highest one because you're in traffic.
The traffic.
Right. You don't get no sun. You're working however many jobs, pulling away from your resources. Are you taking supplements? Are you taking the B12? Are you taking the ashwagandha to help you sleep? The magnesium glycinate? Are you taking, and this is not, again, please consult your doctor. I'm not a doctor. But what deficiencies might also be present that is causing you to be depressed or that's causing happening in the background? Because high functioning means it's in the background. Yeah. It is in the background. So I can still function. So ain't nothing wrong with me. Oh, no, baby. Come sit on my couch.
Plenty things wrong with you.
And we can figure it out in 2 minutes.
This text reads, Kenny, I can guarantee you that the issue with the last texter is the lack of the father or father figure. A lot of issues stem from fatherless homes. Let me read the rest of my text.
I find that an interesting...
Everything always boils down to the father being missing and that it's completely the woman's fault that the father is not there. But I do think that a lot of it comes from women coddling their sons.
I mean, where's the education come from? The father can be the father, I think I read.
Well, look, the daddy's a sack of trash and the daddy cheat on the mummy. Mm-hmm. So the daddy get married. The daddy do the same. The daddy becomes the very same man that he hated. Mm-hmm. And so he teaches his son to be lousy just like him.
Mm-hmm.
The cycle repeats itself.
And then they're going to say, oh, we didn't talk about those dads. But then again, society teaches men not to have emotions.
We are.
What exactly are we trying to say the father figure does?
Listen.
No, I mean, I hear it all the time, and I don't disagree, but I'm just like, what? You being present, whether you're a mother figure, father figure, whoever, absent, doesn't matter. What matters more is the type of person that you are when you do show up. Because there's also single parent, like, co-parenting. I ain't in the house like that, but I show up when I need to. Like, there's so many different dynamics. It doesn't look one way.
It doesn't look one way at all. And because of societal ills, co-parenting happens mm-hmm. and it is what it is, right? Because mm-hmm. that's what people say, it just is what it is. And you can't be two places at one time. But a child will do what a child wants to do. And you as the parent, or the guardian, you have to have some mental space as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've had my father in my life all my life. My father's still in my life, right? Did that mean that I wasn't curious about sex? Absolutely not. And my dad is a great guy, like fantastic. And it's just like, you're still going to be curious,
you're
right?
You're still going to be curious.
It has nothing to do with somebody missing. I'm not saying nothing, but that's not the end all be all of it.
No. This is a question. This is our last question because we are out of time. Why do so many adults feel guilty admitting that they are overwhelmed?
Because we're not taught to. It's that simple. We're not taught to admit our, air quotes, weaknesses, especially outrightly, because what are we going to admit it to? We don't think therapy is a thing. We also don't think mental health is a thing. There's a stigma. So who are we admitting it to? And then if we admit it, what are the consequences? I had someone, I think, ask me when I was doing a talk or somewhere I was. And it was like, what if I say to my manager that I'm not okay? How do I make sure I don't get the consequences of saying, hey, I'm overwhelmed, right? So it's like, we're not a society that, or we're trying to be, but I don't see enough of it. And I would like to encourage more people to become a society that listens and don't judge. You know, we listen and we don't judge. People would be able to open up more if the space was created. I cannot be something that I don't know how to be if I'm not taught how to be it. Replenish as you deplete.
Simple as that. We run out of time.
I know.
And you know, you only come every 4 years. It seems like it takes a trillion years for you to get to the station. I want you to give the people your telephone number,
sure,
your email address, how they can reach you, social media platforms. Tell them who you are, and we're going to close right after that.
Not a problem. So, again, I am Raquel Curry. I'm a professional therapist here in the Capitol, but I also do see Family Islanders. You guys are not exempt. You can see me or contact me at www.beyondourhealth.com. I will be starting free therapy soon, so look out for that. You can contact, don't call, WhatsApp only, 807-1202, because sometimes I have a client and you don't know what I'm doing, so I'm not going to always answer the phone. And if you'll see all of the information, social platforms on TikTok, I am, but I'm a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how a lot of people, you know, get to know who I am, because they see the content. I make it my business to have these types of conversations on TikTok. I make it my business to do psychoeducation because I know a lot of people have questions, and I'm always about giving access to resources and what you can do to be better. So TikTok, but I'm a therapist, Instagram, Beyond Our Health. And Facebook, Beyond Our Health. Beyond Our, O-U-R.
Our. Thank you so much. It has been, of course, a pleasure to have you here
always
with us.
A good
the
time.
Conversation is always so intellectual and you know, like just riveting energy transfer, man.
Yeah.
I thank you so much. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This has been another fantastic show, if I do say so myself, here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk all day.
Together, 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 together.